Good Monday evening to all the listeners on BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. This is Gijs Minderhout. I'm calling into this conference call, which is a simulcast with this radio show out of Magalia, California. A bunch of people are on the phone line. And tonight's topic will be, again, this beautiful subject of how the universe was created. And it's going to be interesting again. I thank you all for being here. More people joined in here in the last minute. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Oren in Colorado Springs.
All right, Oren, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. More people joined in. Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location. Only if you want to. Welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Robert from North Carolina.
Robert, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. More people joined in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Aaron from Plymouth, Wisconsin.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Aaron from Wisconsin.
Hi, Aaron. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Good evening.
And who was the lady's voice? Please say your name and location.
Yes, Sherry Adams with Sacramento, California.
All right, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Aaron. It's Joni.
Hi, Joni.
Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
I was Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Ice, everybody.
Good evening
Hi,
to
Don.
You, Don, and welcome.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Don.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location. If you want to, welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Marshall, Chicago.
Hello, Marshall. Welcome to the call. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a little bit since I've been here.
All right. Good to have you.
How are you doing?
Great, great, great. Thanks.
No. Keep down. Get out.
Are you talking to your husband?
Oh, that's a dog.
We had more people join in. Oh, please say your name and location. And when you're the dog, you may say woof.
Kitty cat awry.
Hello.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
As we speak, I'm giving you a big hug again.
Hi, Terry.
Oh, hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry. All right. Welcome
hi.
To the same location. Welcome. If you want to, please say the same location.
It was great to hear from you, Terry.
Thanks, Morgan.
You're welcome, Don.
All right. Great to have you here, Terry. I believe Wynn is also in the studio. One foot in the door. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to.
They must be setting up the lighting cameras for Wynn.
Maybe so.
We love
it. There's a lot of lightning this afternoon. We had hail and storm warnings and everything else, but it's backed off now.
All right. More people have joined in. Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hello. Shirley from Columbus, Ohio.
Good evening, Shirley. Welcome to the call.
Chris in Memphis.
Good evening to you, Chris. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Good, man. Another beautiful day. And I hear Bonnie. Hi, Bonnie.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome.
Hi, Anna from San Jose, California.
Good evening to you, Anna. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. More people have joined in. Please say your name and location if you want to. Or maybe I'm just dreaming. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. But only if you want to be a pest. Welcome all those folks that are listening in through BBS Radio Online. Thank you so much for being here. We are past six. We're waiting for Wynn to unmute himself.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Wynn, yeah. Good evening, my friend.
Good
Do I sound better than you?
Bump, bump, Winfrey. I feel free from cream, substitute Winfrey.
Got a theme song now.
Where's the mute button, guys?
It doesn't work on me. I cannot be muted. I will telepathically...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
I'm sorry, Win. I'm sorry, Chris. All right, we are past 6. Thank you so much for being here, Win, and thank you so much for being here, Terry Brown. Monday evening, Win, the mic to you.
How is our voice quality tonight?
Fantastic, Win.
Better than usual?
Yes.
All right. Okay, I'm on Skype on my computer and using a really good headset, so it makes a difference, huh?
Right, yes. You're not as good as Terry, but almost.
I'm not as good as Terry. I'll never be as good as Terry.
Terry has just the best headset, I guess, that is available.
Well, on the phone, we use the same headset, okay? And
sorry, then I have to blame the voice.
It has to be the voice, okay? Let's see. Terry, can you talk like me? And I can talk like you?
Teddy's trying to find the button.
That's the way. Button.
Was that a question to me?
Yeah.
No, I can't talk like you.
You can't?
Keep it that way, Terry.
I can imitate you. Let's see. I can say, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
And a bunch of clicky sounds in the background. You know, one of the amazing things about Terry is, should I tell them this, Terry?
I don't know what it is.
Well, let me tell you first. You can let me know if it's okay to tell everybody else, okay?
But everybody's listening.
Oh, no. Hey, listen, guys. Don't listen right now.
Listen for a moment.
Yeah, close your ears. You know, I don't know if people realize that you're only partially here.
Well, everybody's only partially here. They just don't know it. There are some people here more than others.
Yeah. And it's kind of amazing, because it's amazing that she's here, and we found her, and they found her, and she's doing this for us, because it's pretty rare for someone to be there and here at the same time.
I really worked at it.
You did.
Figure it out.
Yeah, we should start a school, okay? Well, the Space Case University.
We have many people here with us here tonight, Win. You chose another beautiful topic.
Yeah,
I believe.
Terry, can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't tell Terry, so let me make sure. Is it okay?
No, you can't tell everybody else and then renege on it. But you do need to tell me first.
Well, you're busy.
Pardon?
I was going to do another How the Elohim Created the Universe tonight.
I know. I read it.
Well, I was willing to change it if you didn't want to do it, okay?
Yeah, but you got everybody all set up for it. Anyway,
yeah.
I'll do it.
All right. Now, let me see here.
All callers are unmuted.
Do we have anybody on the line for the first time tonight?
Yes, me. My name is Sherry.
Okay.
All right, Sherry. You're brave. Welcome. Anyone else?
Got a guy from me.
Right.
Who was that? Was that Chris?
Oh, Chris ain't here.
All callers are muted.
All right.
You're not recording yet, man. Shall we go?
Yeah.
This conference is being recorded.
This is October 5th, 2015, when in Terry and Sedona. Welcome to everybody on the call. Welcome to everybody on the internet. And welcome to everybody on the replays. And we're going to do another session of how the Elohim created the universe. And this is a very impromptu conversation with a voice that comes through Terry that identifies itself as the Elohim. Actually, they identify themselves as Ra'an, which is a combination of the Elohim and the Ra group. And if you're new and listening, it may not make much sense to you unless you've read our material. But I always tell people, don't believe they are who they say they are. Evaluate it over time based on the context of the information they present. And also, many people can feel vibrations on this line. And the Elohim, you know, this didn't start where I believe them. I mean, I had to convince myself. It took me 3 years. Where there's the story, and if you're not familiar with the story, it's a great story, where I had two personal relationships suddenly start tapping me on the shoulder, telling me those guys want to talk to you again. And it happened during the period I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I was having these amazing conversations. There was a miracle or two occurring, which I had to give them credit for. But the biggest thing in my connection with the source is their total respecting of free will. And I really understand what that means after talking with them for so long, because like many other people, when I first started to get an inkling that maybe they were who they said they were, maybe they were, and that this could really benefit people, I didn't have any idea how to put this out into the world. Not a clue. In fact, I didn't want to. I said, people are going to think I'm crazy. Plus, my not yet released, The Origin of Edgar Cayce, and it just seemed really ups that the guy who was writing that book was now having these two women talking to him that with an intelligence that, you know, Elohim is the word for God in the Old Testament. It's the word for God in the Mormons. And the way they explain themselves to me is not that they are God. They are not God. And in fact, they don't even suggest that we worship them. They are, when you start to get the feeling of how the universe works, and we'll be talking about that this fall, they are a group soul of energy forms that were derivative of what they call the one infinite creator. And if you try to imagine this, at one point, there was no physical realm. There was no time, or there was the beginning of time. But there was awarenesses, and there were energies that were individuated that were aware, and that they were experimental, actually. They didn't quite know, this is the way they've explained it to me, They didn't quite know what was going to happen. But they learned to interface their energies, interface frequencies, so it would create something of substance in this just pure energy kind of experience. Now, it's hard to imagine what it would be like to be awareness without a body, or without a mind, or without eyes, or without anything to look at, even. No planets, no molecules, no atoms. And people that have been coming on the calls regularly start to get the feel of it because they're very transparent in the way they talk to us. We've developed a rapport and us, you know, we're, how can I say it? I used to always think I had to prove myself or prove them. And so many people had been listening to these calls and it's just resonated. And that what happens is not only is there always great information, new understandings of how the universe works, there's also a lot of wisdom about how to get along in this realm, on the physical realm, and why we have obstacles, and how to overcome your obstacles. And not only that, we have teams of people, some of them volunteering, to help work. Many of us need help here. Most of us need help, except we may not know we need it yet, but we need help. And we need, you know, this realm can lead to dead ends. It can lead to a lot of suffering and a lot of hurt and a lot of negative. And the people that are coming to these calls are learning how it works. And many of them are learning how to rise above that and approach their lives in a more expansive way. And one of the really cool things about the Elohim is that they can help us. And they can add their energy to our energy. They can blend with us. They can support things. And they have, one way of saying it is they have the backdoor program to the universe. And since they created it, they can show up without regard to sacred geometry, without regard to dimensions. They can show up in a way that many people can feel them. And in my case, in other people's cases as well, sometimes when they show up, there's a pink light. And I've had a number of experiences where somebody would take my picture and there was a pink light around me. And this was in the early stages of trying to figure this out, figuring out if I could trust them. And were they who they said they were? And how could it benefit other people? And I had to learn that because this is not a religion. This is not, you know, I don't even know what you would call it. But it's a real-time experience of interfacing with maybe the most positive intelligence in the universe and the most available to help us. And you can, I can see how that can look, if one is not very sophisticated, look like God. And because they honor free will, they don't do things unless somebody asks. And so that's the idea, I believe, behind prayer. But you don't have to be less than them in order to make the connection. You may be smaller energetically. You may have been one of them who volunteered to come into this realm to help here, because that happens quite often. And usually when it happens, you forget that that's why you're here. Once you come through the birth canal, you have that instant amnesia. And so you know you're different from other people, but you don't know why. And oftentimes you felt there was something wrong with you because you felt different. And those kinds of people really connect with our work, because many of those people came from higher realms to be of service, to help this realm. And once they're here, they get caught up in many lifetimes here and don't know that's what they're supposed to do. And they try to do things that other people do, you know, make lots of money, do this and that, and it just doesn't work for them. There's something missing. So, you know, you can take out of it whatever you want. We're doing it 3 times a week. All of our calls are different. And you never know when you're listening, when the very right thing is said that can totally change your life. I know when I was younger and I used to go to different spiritual teachers, I had that experience of going to seminars, and there was always good energy. And then occasionally, somebody would say something that just totally applied to me. And I get emails all the time from people that are having that kind of experience on these calls, where suddenly something totally applies to them and their life changes. And they see things in a different way. They see the people around them in a different way. So we're going to get started. Terry, one of the reasons we can do this publicly is because I'm so confident in Terry's ability to have a high intent, that with channeling, and if you hear us channel and you think channeling is cool, well, it is cool. It can be cool. But you need a lot of discernment with channeling, because there are negative sources that channel that look positive. And if a source tries to take your power away, tries to take your discernment away, tries to tell you what's so, oftentimes negative sources identify themselves.
You're cutting out. You're gone. We can't hear you anymore.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Better? Better?
Yeah. Better.
Okay. So, negative sources can mimic positive sources. Like a negative source could come in and say they were the Elohim, or they were Jesus, or they were Mother Mary. And it's very tricky, because why should you believe they are who they say they are? And why should you believe who we're talking to is who they say they are? You shouldn't. It's not in giving up your power to something that's exalted. It's taking something into yourself that resonates, that you can use, and change the quality of your own life, and change vibration, your connection to higher realms. So, you know, with all channeling, be scrutiny, and don't email me and say, when is this positive? Because it's not my job. If I did that, just by doing that, I would be taking away your lessons of discernment. And I hope we're setting an example for something that's positive. But everyone has to make up their own mind. And sometimes somebody thinks we're not positive, and don't come back. Find something that works for you, okay? But in general, it's pretty amazing what goes on these calls. You'll find that if you keep hanging out on our call, you'll meet a gentleman who is very likely the reincarnation of the Jesus' disciples, Matthew. And he wrote a book about it. And I didn't believe him at first. I did my own due diligence, and I came to the conclusion I think he was. And you can check him out. You can read his book. We do. He'll be on. Usually he comes on, and we talk a little bit about it. He has memories of walking around with Jesus, direct memory. And if you ask him a question, he can connect with the event in his memory and talk about it. Now, I don't know how that works. I just know it feels like the Christ of energy to me. So there's loads and loads of stuff to discover in our work. And it's your choice to see what interests you. So let me call in our sources. We have a little invocation for protective energy. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereignty of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is Ra'an, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. That is the light of God, which is not us, but we are servants of the one infinite creator. We are sections of the Elohim group and sections of the Ra group that have gathered together in a loose knit configuration to answer whatever questions you may have. We welcome each and every one of you. Do you have questions, Lynn?
Our topic is the continuing topic of the evolution and creation of the universe. And, you know, you used the word just now that I actually haven't heard you use, which was you were servants of the one infinite creator. Does the one infinite creator give you things to do?
It is a creative connection between the all that is, the infinite creator, and us, and whomever we may be called to assist. Yes, the infinite creator keeps a tight rein with us to ensure that we maintain our vigilance, our ethicalness, our integrity, and our commitment to loving posture.
Do you ever get reprimanded, or do you always do the right thing?
People may have noticed that the universe, when one is in the universe, has a habit of reprimanding individuals when they get out of line. They might not think that their dalliances have been noticed. However, it is all written, and it is all there. And very often, the tally may bring them down suddenly.
It's true, you know, there's this thing that we call karma, where in this realm, people do things that are out of balance or contrary to the law of one, and over periods of time, not even in the same lifetime, but in some lifetime, they have to balance, as I understand it, they have to balance the things they did that were outside of the law of one.
Yes. The universe very often waits until they are strong enough to take the information, the correction, the, although you might call it punishment, it is not really punishment. It is the law of one in action.
It's kind of like scientific in a way. It's like, since we're all part of the same energy, then when we do something that is in violation of that energy, we create an imbalance that somehow, sometime, we have to balance out. Is that a way of saying it?
There is a balance that goes out of balance depending upon the actions of the individual. It can go out of balance really, really badly, and they may not even think about it, or they may think they are getting away with it in a very big way and laugh, and that there is no other side to come and be there to correct them. However, perhaps lifetimes in the future, it comes upon them. When one starts out, they need the love and care of their parents. And they orient themselves by what they have done in the past. And then they run into, in the life circumstance, different ideas, different belief systems directly opposed to them. And eventually, something will happen that will cause the balancing. Sometimes an individual has to fall to the bottom before they learn respect and how to love. And before they appreciate simple relationships.
Thank you. Now, does that mean that when people are suffering, that they have, they're always working out karma? Is all suffering related to karma?
Not necessarily. But when there is suffering, there is something out of balance. And it can be for a multiplicity of reasons. And the suffering might be simply that they are ignorant of the rules of life, of what the body needs, the rules of nutrition, and that by suffering, perhaps they will begin to get a grip on what is the best nutrition available, that the body needs minerals in order to function, that the body needs care. The body needs something besides sweets. That drugs can take one down a very destructive path for their simple life, day to day. There is much to be aware of when one is in the game of life and how to move oneself so that one is not at odds with how the body works, how relationships work, how love works.
It seems to me that at a certain level of someone's evolution, and maybe everyone has to pass through it, I don't know, but many people pass through it, they have to feel arrogant, and they feel egotistical, and they feel superior to other people. And they
and
have
entitled.
And entitled. And they can go through a number of lifetimes in this way, particularly when the game is working in their favor and they're not suffering. Things are going their way. They're on top of things. And yet, eventually, it's going to come and crash. Is that an example of what you mean? When somebody crashes and burns and then suddenly they have a really, really hurtful, hard time and they have to regroup themselves?
There are lessons to be learned when one thinks that they are entitled. One can be rude and arrogant and not humble. And yet other people do not have to give them something. If they are thankful and grateful for the things that they get, it in itself is a reward to those that give something. If somebody feels they're entitled, they may be in for a rude awakening where something does not go how they wished, and then they can get frustrated and angry. And yet there was a lesson in that for them, that other people exist. Other people around you have needs. It is not just the one person. It is the group, the family members, the mother, father, the children. It is them all working together. It isn't just one giving everything to the other. And that is one of the best things about life in the third density. It begins to teach one the importance of give and take, learning to receive, learning to give, but to taking into account the other person that is there. What are that other person's needs and wants and desire for expression? When one learns this lesson, then life can become very sweet.
And it's like before one learns this lesson, then one is in the state of perhaps trying to manipulate other people to fulfill their needs all the time without the compassion for the person that they're manipulating.
Right. And in the long run, they shoot themselves in the foot because it isn't give and take. It is only give to me, give to me, give to me. Put attention on me, put attention on me. And then eventually it doesn't work for them. They need to learn both to receive and to give.
What is it that causes it to stop working?
What to stop working?
This idea of give to me, give to me, give to me. I mean, why is it that can't go on indefinitely?
Because the person who is giving needs something back, needs to receive. If there is something out of balance there, eventually the person will stop giving and there will be upset.
Okay, that explains it. Even over many lifetimes, it might take for that to occur. Yes?
Yes, one might feel they have an edge, and they can use magic, and they can use voodoo, and they can use mind power and mind tricks, and they can always get the upper hand. But it is a lonesome game because they don't ever really receive from another. They only receive some fake attention, some directed attention out of necessity. And it is not freely given.
So it's out of balance with the law of, we say the law of one. It's not really a law like a municipal law. It's a foundational principle on how the universe works. And
that
the law,
is correct.
And the law of one means that we're all cells. We're all cells in the body of the universe, or the body of God, or the body of all that is.
Yes.
We're not separate from all that is, because it, all that
we
is...
We are a total part of it, even though we act, we might act, we are separate.
Yeah.
We might declare our independence, but then when that person is in need, where is sushi.
Like, we know there's a lot of what the Ra group calls service to self in this world. There's a lot of negative agendas. There are a lot of manipulations. There's a lot of things that are designed to hurt people, to kill people, to make them sick. And there's people doing this. When does the tail meet the head? When do those people that are doing this get their day in of reconciliation, you know? What do they have to do? What do they have to do to clear the energy of having done all these horrible things?
They need to clear it brick by brick. They need to clear it as they see it, because they may not see that they have done anything wrong. They may think, oh, I just won. I just stepped on all these other people, and now I'm top guy. And they may feel like they are the king, they are the winner. Then one day, they find themselves in a hole, and they go, what happened? Where is some help here? How can I be so lonesome in this hole now? Nobody cares, because they have stepped all over all these other people.
Do they end up with some kind of responsibility to rescue the people they've hurt?
Some of them do, and they come back. For instance, a banker who has taken advantage of the banking laws might come back as a very poor person, and to experience the other side of the coin, and go back and forth, walk back and forth, like the top of the heap, the bottom of the heap. Like, how did this happen, you know? And it's something that he needed to experience both sides.
You know, we have had conversations about how the Elohim created the universe. And it's that I start to get the intuition, the intuitiveness, that the universe was being created. Was it a very simple thing that expanded, or was it a huge amount of stuff all at once?
Well, it was one thing after another, but it was very vast. It's like the 100 monkey syndrome. When someone got the idea of how to set up some nothing into something, then everyone began to get the idea, and it began to go off like firecrackers. And it was suddenly all of these beings coming into awareness, like awakening, like a joy at being aware and something to be aware of. So it happened from no time to time that it took to happen, and it went very fast.
When you say it went very fast, as the universe was being created, time was one of the things that was being created.
That's correct.
So the word fast...
Time was merely a result.
Well, a part of the creation. So
yes.
How can we understand the meaning of fast when the nature of time is changing its form.
One thing after another, rapidly occurring. One thing,
faster and faster. So, no, what dimension you're in, no matter how time moves in that dimension, when you're in that dimension, it's still one thing after the other. Like, say, for example, it's like two cars that are next to each other going 70 miles an hour. When they look over to each other, it looks like they're not moving. It's kind of like that.
Right.
So yeah. within a certain time zone, the time would look different if you were looking from another time zone. But within that time zone...
At the start, there was no time.
Yeah.
And then it began. One.
Okay. And then there was frequency. Frequency was the rotation, spinningness, right?
Yes.
And that the Elohim were able to calculate very precisely how to create spinning and interfacing so that something would stick, something would hold. Is that a way of saying it?
At first, it was like a kid with a top. Hey, look at this. And then there was observation of what happened. And the spinning then began to create light. And it's like, hey, look at this. Hey, can you do that? Oh, yeah. I'll create one, you create one. And we will see. Mine is brightest. No, his is brightest. And it will
You were competing with each other.
Yes.
In a way, yeah.
Yes.
In a playful way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't know where it was going to go. You had to create one thing. And the things that got created had their own will, their own consciousness to project.
As the spinning was a concentration of, you might call it, God's energy creating a focalization of consciousness. And in the focalization of consciousness, there became awareness.
Mm-hmm. Now, while this creation was taking place, there were certain Elohim that were watching this, saying, we want to break away. I'm just imagining how this was. I just want your confirmation. We're going to break away from this creative force, this one infinite creator and all his team, and saying, let's take over this universe. We can run it. Something like that. Is that accurate, how that occurred?
We did not think like that.
Mm-hmm.
We were co-relations playing with Stardust.
So when the Bible talks about fallen angels, what would you say a fallen angel was?
We would say a fallen angel was one that further dived into the realm, into the universe, the galaxy, and began to seek power and began to take over a section and try to control all the beings in the section.
Mm-hmm. So, in essence, a fallen angel was acting in contrariness to the law of one.
Yes.
And try to develop a separate subsection of the universe where perhaps the evolution didn't continue or was obstructed by these beings that wanted to control that section.
The main goal there was power. Mm-hmm. Was power that then they began to think because they had power, they were better than everyone else, that they were in charge, and they didn't recognize co-creation between beings. It's like they wanted to be the one in control of what all the other people did, of demanding that they act in certain ways, of taking on slaves, and just making dominions of which they were in total control, which gave them the feeling that they really existed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? We've come to the end of this session, and I thought I'd just turn it over to you and let you close. I know there's everyone on this line listening is saying, okay, how do I do it? How do I add this to my life? How do I make my life better? How do I get over my obstacles? How do I get over my karma? How do I get out of the control patterns of the people that want to control me or control us and be sovereign? Maybe you could just address those things. Probably take another 2 hours, but in a quick way, if you could address those before we close the call.
One is in the middle of their learning experience, and the universe presents to them the issues that they need to address to learn what their next step is. So, this is not always true. It is generally true. However, sometimes an individual can get caught in a pattern of a country. They can get caught in something that then they need to address on a bigger scale. How to not get caught up in other people's issues, in the country's issues, but to look at it from two sides. From the side outside the box of how you can still be your own personal self, and when you are part of society, to still act in the best way that you can figure out to act. When you look at it from that standpoint, there are large issues, there are small issues, and the main thing is you are an individual who needs to learn to be in control. And if you find yourself in a situation that seems out of control, then take a moment and step outside of that circle of commitment. Step outside to the larger outside. We don't have words for the ambience outside. To step outside of your circle of influence and look at it say, from our perspective, look at it from outside in, and then figure out who you are, that you are the observer, and you sometimes are caught up in these special things. However, your life goes on even after death, and you have a path that you are on, and your path will continue. And if you can move outside of the box for a minute and know that within the framework of all that is of God, you are loved and you are there and you are wanted and you are part of things, and that this will maintain you and hold you steady, whether you are caught up in some detail or whether things are going smoothly, you are part of the whole, of the all that is. And this is a stability that can help guide you and make you feel whole.
Thank you. I think I'm going to end the call. If you got our email today, be sure to check out that Wellness Oz ozone machine. You'll be really glad you did. It's really that good, and it really works almost for everybody getting benefit from it, serious benefit. And it's a really good investment for what it does and how many people can use it. And I thank our sources so much for being here with us, and I thank Terry. I thank all of you, and get your questions ready for Wednesday, and we will see you on Wednesday. And thanks to Hive, especially, as well, for helping to set up the ambience and the grounding for these calls. Here we go.
All callers are unmuted. All callers are unmuted.
Thank you.
Ashley and Terry, I love you. Love you all.
Thank you.
Good day, everybody.